WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning, the first show of the new year, and the final day of Shane Burgo's presidency of the New Bedford City Council. He'll be joining us in just a few moments and taking your calls at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app as well. I did get the app chats that were sent earlier, and if we can bring them into the conversation, we will. They were about some of the topics we were discussing earlier, but I want you to know that I did see them. If you missed the announcement earlier, we do have a little bit of a schedule change that Brian Thomas has ended his weeknight Freedom Fool show, his weeknight Brian's Beat show. Brian's Beat has moved back to Saturday afternoons, and the weeknight program has ended. And so we will go back to airing Howie Carr until 7 p.m. That final hour of Howie Carr from 6 to 7 is actually the first hour of the Howie Carr show that normally airs from 2 to 3 that we don't carry on WBSM because we still have Barry on at that time. If you remember about a year ago, Howie moved his schedule, and instead of being on 3 to 7, he went on 2 to 6 so we can, you know, go have dinner at Mar-a-Lago more often. I don't know, but he wanted to wrap the show up a little bit earlier. So they had changed the hours of his show, and we were originally carrying that first hour as the last hour here on WBSM before Brian started doing his show, and now we're going back to that because Brian is ending his weeknight show and just focusing on Saturdays, so he'll be having Brian's Beat Saturday afternoons from 1 to 4. And also in a couple of weeks, the Paul Santos show on Saturday mornings is going to switch over to Santos on Sports, where he'll be covering sports topics. It'll be Paul and Chris Santos talking sports every Saturday morning with you. So just a couple of things to make you aware of there. Also, want to make you aware, too, that electric rates aren't going down. You can just Google it and see that that's the case. In fact, your energy company is pushing for rates to go up even more. With all the chatter about solar incentives going away, you might feel like you missed your chance. Well, don't fall for the fast-talking salesperson at your door. Call Isaacson Solar. They'll walk you through exactly what solar looks like for your home, where the savings come from, and explain everything in simple, easy-to-understand terms. The rebates, tax credits, and incentives all disappear in 2028. So the time to go solar is now. Locally owned since 2017, Isaacson has installed and serviced hundreds of homes across the South Coast. There's a reason your neighbors use Isaacson, and you'll find out why once you make the call. Call Isaacson Solar and find out more by visiting their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Let me take a quick call here while we wait for Council President Burgo to make his way in. He's actually here, but he's waiting for Fun 107 to answer the door. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
I just want to say happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
A friend of mine said she saw you on, was it the, what's that triangle? You were on TV?
The Bridgewater Triangle?
Were you on TV?
It aired a couple months ago. They probably ran it again.
Yeah, she saw it the other night. She goes, oh my God, he's so young. Yeah.
Well, yesterday was my 97th birthday, so
yeah,
I'm not really that young. So.
Yeah. How old are you now?
48.
Still under 50. Oh, good. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I love the picture of your cat. She looks like she's got the best. Oh, he, was it he or she?
It's a he.
He. He's got the best personality. He looks like he's got a strong personality.
Oh, it's strong, all right. Yeah.
Just like the kitten we just got, 6 months old. Oh, my God.
Well, hopefully yours calms down faster than mine has. Mine's almost 2 years old, and he has not calmed down.
Oh, no, this one here is, she goes after the other two cats' food all the time. We have to put her in another room while they eat because they're older and they, you know, they have a hard time eating. But she slept underneath the Christmas tree all the holidays. Then she was all upset when it was gone. But she didn't touch the balls on it, so that was cute. But anyway, I'm glad you had a nice birthday.
Thank you.
Nice relaxing. And have a good day.
Thank you so much. You as well.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
And we are joined now by the final day we can say this, New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing all right. Fun 107 finally let you in, huh?
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was your birthday yesterday.
Yeah, I keep it low key. You know, it's not really a big deal for me.
Oh, you're one of those.
I've never saw the big deal about celebrating, especially my birthday, but really kind of birthdays in general.
Another amazing year to be on this earth.
Yeah, but I just look at it as it's just another day. So, you know. I mean, if I can go to the movies and get free popcorn or something, or go to Red Robin and get a free burger, I'll take advantage of it.
Well, if you're an AMC member, they give you a free popcorn.
Yeah. I have the membership where you can go see the three movies a week.
Oh, yeah.
But now they've upped it. You can go see four movies a week now.
Geez.
Not that I ever go to four movies a week, but... So today is your final day as council president, and we're going to get into some of that. But
not even a full day.
How does it feel to know that this is the end of the term?
It's exciting, I would say. I think we talked about this briefly when I had announced, obviously, that I wouldn't be seeking the council presidency for an additional year. It's been a great year. I've definitely enjoyed the experience. There's a lot of privilege that comes with the title, with the elevation of this position. I think we've touched on the acting mayor aspect of it. When you get to stand in to represent the city when different dignitaries come in, and you know. Just showing the pride that many elected officials, but even just everyday residents have for our city and getting to show that beauty. That's something I'll never take for granted in this role. And really getting to be the face of the city council. That's really, it's just kind of a figurehead role. Other than that, it doesn't have any other real power or glory other than being able to be a voice here on the radio, to make sure that the council has a voice, when there's different discussions going on or misrepresentations, on being able to clarify our talking points. I feel that we were able to do that this year. And the council was able to move with one voice and get a lot accomplished. Of course, anything with government takes time, moving through committee and things in and out of committee. But with that, I think a lot of good government took place. And there's a lot more that will get done over the next legislative cycle. I'm really looking forward to what my colleague, Councillor Pereira, will get done as council president. I think he's already alluded to some of the changes he's looking to implement as council president as well. And I think he'll do an amazing job.
What are some of those changes that he's alluded to?
I think one of the major changes he's talked about is reforming how our committees are formed. In particular, we have a lot of what we call committees of the whole, which can be confusing for some. Mainly because they see all 11 councils on the committee, and oftentimes they'll hear when we're hashing up, different amendments and things in committee, and then they'll often hear someone refer out to the full city council for approval. And some people will be scratching their head saying, what do you mean refer out to the full city? This is the full city council.
But that must be frustrating for councilors too, to have that extra step when you could just get something done that night.
Yes and no. I think it's important, especially in government, to have that extra layer of protection because, sometimes, and I often make this joke where I said, what happens in committee doesn't always stay in committee, because sometimes, you have this hashed out in committee, then you refer it out within that time frame between the referral out of committee until the final of passage, especially depending on whether it's a loan order or an actual ordinance to be ordained. New information can come about, or we might be waiting for further information from someone. Anything in government, as I said, takes time, and I think it's important that it takes time because, especially in a city like New Bedford, where you have over 100,000 people, you want to make sure the things that you're doing, you're not doing anything too drastic and you're not rushing. So that's why, in those cases, it is important that you take that extra step to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But to go, to go back to the explanation, what Council Perry, I believe, is looking to do is some of the committees that we currently have as a committee of the whole, which essentially means that all members of the City Council sit on that committee. He's looking to make subcommittees committees that are only 5-member committees. And what I think that actually does is makes them stronger committees and makes those individuals who might sit on those committees even more powerful. And essentially will also help when we talk about, quorums, in particular, people's schedules. What I think we've had issues in the past where, we need 6 counselors to actually have this meeting, and this person's, has a meeting, a different, community meeting that they scheduled, or this person has a work event in Boston or wherever, and they can't get here, so now the meeting has to be canceled because we can't make a quorum. So if you have a smaller subcommittee member, 5-member committee, you only need 3 to actually have a meeting, and it will make it an easier process. Then you also have less cooks in the kitchen, so to speak. Again, not to say that counselors wouldn't be able to have input, just like the current 5-member committees that we have, because we do have subcommittees now. The counselors now that don't sit on certain subcommittees, we can still attend those meetings if we want to, and we can still be recognized and speak and ask questions if the chair allows it, which I've never seen a situation where a chair says, no, you're not a member of this committee, you can't ask questions. The only thing you're not allowed to do, obviously, is you can't make motions and you can't vote. But other than that, if you want to attend the meeting and ask questions of any experts or witnesses that are attending, you can still do that as an elected member. I think it will help make things run a lot more efficient. And I'm sure there'll be some pushback from some counselors that like being on every single committee and like having voting power on every single committee. But I think overall it will be a welcome change that will help move government a lot. Will help make it more efficient.
Let's take a phone call here. And if you want to call in and speak with Council President Burgo, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You were on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. Happy New Year, Tim. Happy New Year, Councilor Burgo.
To you as well. Happy New Year.
I'd like you to define 5 major things that you were able to accomplish as a city council president, because we have a ballooning city budget that's going from $500,000 to $560,000. We have a pension plan that we're still on the hook for. It's close to $40 million. $30 million of it is we still are paying for past obligations. We're still paying high taxes and water sewer fees. And what we need is jobs, jobs, jobs in the city. And with high taxes, the companies don't want to come here. And the mayor keeps talking about the jobs that were created with the wind turbines, which were the fishermen who lost their jobs because they can't scallop, they can't fish. So now they're just basically out there helping out some of these wind turbine companies. But what are the 5? Define that, please. What are these 5 major things, at least, that you were able to accomplish that's going to be able to reduce the city budget, the school budget, and so forth? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think as I've talked about in the past, as I just kind of reiterated this morning, the council presidency doesn't hold any such weight to do anything major.
You're able to do less as council president than you could have if you were a counselor pushing for any of those items.
Sure. And I think the other part that I keep...
I shouldn't say less, but it's just there's more on your plate, so you can't focus on those things.
Well, yes. And I think the point that you're trying to make that I'll make now, too, is that as council president, you're just the presiding officer, meaning your colleagues make the motions and you're just essentially acknowledging them. And so in that sense, all of the elected officials there, all 11 counselors, are the ones putting forward the change. But to answer the questions, all the points that he's bringing up are important about the rising cost of living in the city, jobs, when it comes to rising taxes, all of those things are important. I don't think, again, it's not up to just one individual on the city council, or even just the mayor. Again, it's working in tandem as a body, the legislative body and the executive body. I think one thing I will say that I'm very proud of as council president that I think I will say, not just myself, but along with my colleagues, is pushing back against the executive branch when it comes to overreaching, whether it's different appointments, which we won't get into. Cause it's not just obviously the chief of police appointment, but when we talked about the election commissioner and other different appointments that the mayor has tried to overreach and take away legislative power. That's important because then when we're talking about the questions he brings up about taxes ballooning, if you're taking away the legislative power that we have, then you're going to eventually take away the power that we have over that budget. So I think showing that we are equal branches of government, I think people misunderstand when we talk about the strong mayor, weak council format, that it means that we aren't as powerful as the mayor. The reasoning that phrase is there is because as individuals, we're not as strong as the mayor is strong in the sense that his one position outweighs us individually. But as a united force, we can outweigh him with a supermajority.
You need the other councilors to make things happen. He does not.
Correct. And so that's why, when a question like that caller asked, again, very valid questions about what are we doing, especially when you see the offshore wind jobs, that when we talk about the blue economy and wanting to be the capital for wind energy, those now the funding's been pulled. What do we do now? All the investments that we've made in that and the jobs that have been lost, where do we set course now, for lack of, no pun intended, I guess. But those are very valid questions. And so now we have to work together with the mayor, with the city council, with private industry, to try to make sure that we, again, protect our waterfront, protect those jobs, find new jobs, and all those investments that we have to work together. So all valid questions. Again, to reiterate, it is not up to just one person, especially not just the city council president. But I am very proud, as I said, of working again with my colleagues to showcase that our legislative power should not be ignored.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't remember callers calling in and asking previous council presidents the same question. Again, his points are all good points, mm-hmm. but I don't remember them saying to the other council, well, what did you do as council? You didn't do anything as council president. What did you do? And I was thinking that in my head, but also I was thinking, well, the others also were in a different format where they weren't coming in here and taking the calls mm-hmm. either. So I want to be fair about that. But I do think that there was a lot of kind of expectation when you became the council president that there was agendas you were going to be pushing and things like that. And certainly, a year later, I think we've slayed all those Burgo boogeymen. Mm-hmm. They didn't come out of the shadows and cause us any nightmares.
Well, and I guess it's like addressing the elephant in the room, but I'm just happy to have gotten past all that. One of the many blessings of it being a very small city, is everyone knows each other. And I think that's one of the great things, even when things are said about you on the air or in the paper. I was very fortunate to have such great support from the community because they know me. I was born and raised here in New Bedford. They know even some of the things that have been said about my lack of support for the police, that I was, wanted to defund the police and things like that. Not true at all. I've been a huge supporter of the New Bedford Police Department. I have never voted to defund the police and things like that. I have an actual voting record, and I think that was... It was frustrating because if you actually do your research and look at my voting record that I have, it just doesn't add up. And it was, for me, though, it was also very heartwarming to hear from police officers that know me that were shocked to hear, like, what are these people talking about? So it's just, at this point, we're at the end of the year. We survived, I guess, based on if you look at this time last year to this year, it was like a doomsday warning, as you say, a Burgo boogeyman. But I'm just relieved, I guess, that we made it to the end of the year. I'm happy to know that I've retained my reputation of being who I am. I've never changed who I am. I've continued to serve the people of New Bedford proudly, and I will continue to do that over the next 2 years.
I mean, you still got about 10 hours if you want to get the Shane Burgo Memorial Tent City erected by the time the meeting happens tonight. But so one of the things that when Councillor Morad was the council president, she was coming on here. One of the things that she talked about is she thought that it was very important for all councillors to get a chance to be the council president and to see things from that perspective. And combining that with the fact that when you talked about not wanting to pursue the council presidency again, you talked about kind of how you were champing at the bit to get back out there and mm-hmm. be on the floor talking about some of these issues. So do you think now that having spent a year as the council president, that's going to give you a different perspective in how you do things as a councillor?
I guess in some ways, especially because it's definitely a different experience being up there. Things move a lot faster. And you're trying to watch everything. You're watching everyone that's in the actual chamber because you're making sure no one's wearing hats or drinking anything or, you know, things like that we have to be observant of, or also attendees that might be there. You have to look for, you know, because you're supposed to, for pleasantries, any past councillors or other elected officials that might be there for when you're opening up the session, or if we have a public hearing, people that are supposed to be attending that. But then also when your colleagues are going to be addressed, they're raising their hand or trying to get your attention, you're being alerted to that while also waiting for your clerk to give you cues to say, okay, well, this is the next docket item. And so a lot of different moving pieces all at once that's thrown at you. Over time, you kind of catch a rhythm to it. I think it will give me a better, a little more empathy, I guess, towards the chair, so to speak, of when I'm throwing out motions to kind of give them a beat. Because I know sometimes, like maybe my freshman year as a counselor, I remember like waving my hand, like, "Do they not see me here? Like, why haven't they recognized me yet? Or how could they have missed me?" And those kind of things. Where now, having been in the role, it's like, "Oh, they've missed me because they're trying to do 10,000 things at once," while saying, "Oh, okay, great. You know, this counselor just finished speaking. I have to remember this counselor's next. Oh, that counselor wants to be recognized. Oh, this person just walked into the room. Oh, that person just left. Oh, this, so you're kind of, you know, all scrambled all over the place, but while also trying to smile and maintain appearances that everything's fine. But
I can tell you, I learned it's one thing to come in here and press a button versus being the person that makes the button work when you press it. So there's certainly something to be said for getting to see the other side of it.
Yeah, and I guess at the same time, too, you know, I'll use this opportunity to thank our staff in the city council office, because they are amazing. They speak to that, what you just said, they keep everything running. I look to them for everything. It's like anytime I get too nervous or I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know what the hell's going on. They are the backbone, really, of the entire city council operation. So it's very fortunate for all of us, especially new councilors coming in, to have the wealth of knowledge that we have in our city council office, especially Dennis Farias as our clerk, and Susan Hendricks, and many others in our office that continue to help keep the city council looking great, as I often say to them. I'm very thankful for their guidance throughout this year, and obviously just as my tenure as a councilor.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news real quick, and then we can take your calls, 508-996-0500, back in a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted local family. Venezuela's Maduro scheduled for court today, heavy rains in Southern California, and the first Uvalde trial begins today.
From From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The first trial connected to the police response in the mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, is set to start. Jury selection will begin today in the trial of former Uvalde school officer Adrian Gonzalez, accused of failing to engage the gunman after arriving at Robb Elementary School during the massacre in 2022. 19 children and 2 teachers were killed. He's facing 29 felony counts of abandoning or endangering a child. The trial was moved to Corpus Christi after Gonzalez's attorney filed for a change of venue, arguing he wouldn't be able to get a fair trial in Uvalde. President Trump reportedly threatening Venezuela's new leader in a phone interview with The Atlantic. Trump said, if Delcy Rodriguez doesn't do what's right, she is, quote, going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is set to make his first court appearance in New York today. Federal prosecutors are charging Maduro, his wife, and their adult son with drug trafficking. Rodriguez has served as the vice president of Venezuela since 2018. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani continues to fill out his new administration with the naming of a commissioner of housing, preservation, and development.
Calling her a person you're glad to have on your side, Mamdani appointed Dina Levy, previously a senior New York State housing official, as city housing commissioner. Speaking at a Sunday morning news conference, Levy talked about the work ahead.
We will need to try new, innovative, and sometimes scary innovations, and we will need to embrace a willingness to rethink how we do business.
Also Sunday, Mamdani signed an executive order directing city agencies to hold hearings at which tenants can highlight landlord abuses. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Southern California getting slammed with more rainfall. Heavy rain reported across the region over the weekend, especially north of Los Angeles in the Santa Barbara area, where flights were grounded and roads were flooded. The National Weather Service says the stormy weather is expected to continue through tomorrow. The Wisconsin judge convicted of obstructing ICE agents who were trying to arrest a Mexican immigrant has resigned from her post. Former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dukin announced her resignation on Saturday. Her felony conviction came after an incident last year where prosecutors accused her of helping an illegal immigrant evade federal agents. Dugan was acquitted of a misdemeanor charge of concealing a wanted person. Today will mark Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's final day in office. She announced her resignation in November following a public fallout with President Trump. Once a staunch supporter of the president, Greene broke from Trump on issues like his handling of health care subsidies and the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. On Saturday, she criticized the U.S.'s actions in Venezuela. Greene was first elected to serve as Georgia's 14th congressional district in 2020 and won re-election in 2022 and 2024. Stellantis is resurrecting a V8-powered Ram pickup truck called the TRX.
The $100,000 vehicle is being revived as the company faces fewer federal emissions regulations. It was first produced for the 2021 to 2024 model years, and now the 2027 Ram 1500 SRT TRX will be available in late 2026. Ram CEO Tim Kanuskis has been leading a turnaround plan since unretiring from the automaker a year ago. I'm at Mattinson.
Billy Joel still off the road indefinitely, but he gave some fans in Florida a big surprise on Friday. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer performed 2 songs with a Billy Joel cover band called Turnstiles at an amphitheater in Wellington. Joel, who owns property in the city, walked on stage with the help of a cane before taking a seat at the piano. Together, Joel and Turnstiles played his hits We Didn't Start the Fire and Big Shot. Joel announced last May that he had to cancel all future concerts after being diagnosed with a brain disorder.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Pats with a win over the Dolphins 38-10 yesterday. Patriots will host the number 7 seed Chargers in the AFC wild card round next weekend after Los Angeles fell to the number 1 seed Denver Broncos. Celtics will host the Bulls tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A cold and cloudy start to the day today, only up to the lower 30s this afternoon. Coating of light snow possible overnight tonight, 16 for your low. Cloudy tomorrow, 41. Partial sun for Wednesday, 42. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back. We are with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We can say that for a few more hours. And we're taking your calls, 508-996-0500. Can you just do me a favor? When you get a chance, if you can let the possible future New Bedford City Council President Ryan Pereira, just tell him to respond to my text from like 3 weeks ago. He still hasn't responded. And I know he's a busy guy between his day job and his council work and everything, but just let me know one way or the other.
Certainly.
Trying to make a plan here. So, but this meeting tonight will be to decide who is going to be the council president. And then there's some other business that's going to happen as well.
Yeah, it's such an interesting chain of, people have been texting because they're like, oh, well, the actual inauguration and swearing in ceremonies invite show 6 p.m. But then we have our organizational meeting that also starts at 6 p.m. They're like, well, which one should we go to? The one at City Hall or the Whaling Museum? So I've been slowly trying to explain to people, and I guess this is a good time to explain the process of how it kind of begins. So doors will open at 6 p.m. At the Whaling Museum for people to attend. And I really want to take this opportunity to thank the New Bedford Whaling Museum, the board, especially Beatrice Oliveira, especially the quick turnaround. I'm sure everyone's aware of the Moby Dick Marathon that took place 25 hours, 30th anniversary. And so they did that this weekend, just yesterday, finished off, and then quick turnaround to change everything back around in time for our inauguration. So we're very thankful for them accommodating us. And those doors will open at 6 p.m. We, at the same time, will be opening up our session at City Hall at 6 p.m. Dennis Farias will open up because we will all be councilors-elect. We have not have been sworn in yet. As councilors-elect, we will elect a president pro temp. In this case, that president pro temp will then take the gavel and put us into recess immediately. Once in recess, we will then leave to go to the Whaling Museum to be sworn in. There'll be the proceedings there. Ourselves, the city council, school committee members, and the one assessor will all be sworn in. Once those proceedings are done, we will head back to City Hall to commence the rest of business, which the first order of business once we come back out of recess would be to elect the new city council president. Then that new person, which I hope will be Ryan Pereira in this case, will then go through the order of renewing, our legislative council, the assistant city solicitors and the weighers and, all the different ceremonial things that happen. It's a very short meeting, typically, depending on how long speeches are. And then Dennis swears certain people in, and then that's pretty much it. But it's a really nice time for our city to, again, especially for the new year, I think, of like renewal, a recommitment, those kind of aspect of kind of getting to look not only at the past, but into the future of our city.
And because of the quick turnaround from the Moby Dick Marathon, you're actually all getting sworn in on a copy of Moby Dick. So you have to put your hand on Melville to be, which is probably being more appropriate anyway for New Bedford. We have a phone call here, 508-996-0500. You are on with Council President Burgo.
Hey, how's it going? I hope you have a different experience than the constituents have had when it comes to Ryan Pereira. Unfortunately, the experiences that I've heard from individuals you know, that have been in contact with me is that they do not get a response from Ryan Pereira. And some of these people have tried many times, you know, for different reasons, you know, constituent services, whatever, something that they believe the council could help them with. And one of those people actually came to WBSM not too long ago. You know, she had an issue with some mold and a non-responsive homeowner or whatever. And, you know, and I just hope we have a different experience, because it looks as though he has enough votes, you know, by the way, Mr. Burgo is speaking of it, sounds like he might have the votes already. You know, it's just unfortunate, you know. Hopefully, you know, because we all can change, right?
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got another call here. We'll take that. Oh, nope, just dropped off. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in. And then also tomorrow night, we have the meeting to determine who is going to fill out the term of Bruce Oliveira's school committee seat. 9 candidates vying for this. Now, so this is going to be a joint convening of the city council and the school committee. So all the members of the city council and the remaining members of the school committee meeting together. Mm-hmm. These, as far as you know, these nine candidates are all going to be there. To speak on their own behalf. How is that gonna lay out?
Yeah, so 17 of us, so 11 counselors and then the 6 remaining school committee members will join together in the council chamber. The mayor will be the presiding officer, the chairman, and then we will convene on Wednesday, January 7th at 6 p.m. It's open to the public. Some people have asked that. It will also be live streamed just like any of our city council meetings. So if you don't feel like coming out, you can also watch it from the comfort of your home. But essentially, we haven't adopted any of the actual rules yet, but we have put out proposed rules based on what took place previously, which coincidentally was back when Bruce Oliveira was appointed during that process. And so I believe quick synopsis of what has been proposed is those 9 candidates or applicants will have an opportunity to address the convention. And I believe it's 5 minutes each. And then what will happen from there is the 17 of us will be able to offer nominations from those 9 applicants. And then whomever of those 9 are nominated will then have an additional 3 minutes to address the convention. And then we'll vote. Applicant would need to receive a majority, which in this case would be 9. So it's not a case of just having a plurality typical to a regular election, like, you know, we would have if someone went and voted and you only get, you know, whoever has the most. It's about the majority, not just the most. So I think that's important to note, especially in a case like this where there might be a lot of people nominated. So it will be very interesting, especially because I think we have more applicants this time around than we did in previous years. So there's a lot more interest. I believe there's already a lot of discussions around potentially changing some of the proposed rules in terms of maybe allowing some questions from the floor.
And those changes would be made prior to the beginning of them speaking?
Correct. And so, to back up a little bit, when we first convene, the first order of business would be adopting the rules that will govern the convention. And so that will be a part of that discussion. If any of us want to change the proposed rules that have been put forth.
And the question came up earlier from Gilly when he called in, but the vote of the body is binding. It's not something where it's not, this is who we're putting forward, and then the mayor makes a decision ultimately, whether it be as the chair of the school committee or as the mayor. This is going to be whatever this group of 17 decides, that's who it is.
Correct. It's based off of 9 votes, as I said. Yeah, so it's not just one person deciding. The mayor does not get to decide by himself. I'm sure he has his person that he would like to, but he'll have his one vote of the 17, and then whatever 9 whichever applicant reaches 9 votes would be the person who is selected, and then they would be sworn in right away.
And, I mean, if you don't want to say, you don't have to, but is there someone in that 9 that you are thinking you might nominate?
I guess it doesn't hurt to say at this point. Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, I have been looking at the applicants. It's been challenging because, to be honest with you, I hate this process. To be fully transparent, I don't want to have to make this decision at all, especially in a situation where this position is typically decided by the people. So I rather have the people of New Bedford vote. But obviously that is not the case. It's a 4-year term. I wouldn't want to have to spend the taxpayer dollars to have an election where we know obviously the voter turnout probably would be low, and to spend thousands of dollars on all those ballots that would probably get thrown out because no one's using them. Not that we throw out ballots. Sorry, the way I said that made it sound like we throw
that would go unused.
Yes. Thank you. I don't want that soundbite used against me. But I guess there's been a lot of talk obviously around I would say candidate, because he was a candidate, Marcus Coward, who ran in the last election. He is now an applicant who ran or is putting himself forward. And I have a lot of respect for him. I think, obviously he's not someone that a lot of people might think of when you have a lot of people. You have someone like Lee Blake, who is an educator and has a really lengthy resume and would be an amazing selection. You have some former colleagues of mine on there that also have great resumes. So it's hard. But then I look at someone like Marcus Coward, who I happen to know and I know has great potential and has put himself up for public scrutiny and has the ambition to want to learn and grow and give back to a city that we all love. And so I see that, and I see a little bit of myself in him, and knowing that when I first decided to run for office, I didn't know much myself either. And so I think oftentimes we hold ourselves back, when the fear of the unknown, the fear of uncertainty. Oftentimes when I'm encouraging people to run for office, the first thing they say is, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know enough about this. There's plenty of mediocre people in office that don't know what they're doing. But there's plenty of passionate people in our city that are more than qualified. But because they're too afraid of what people might say, or that people are going to look down on them or make fun of them or say that they don't know enough, they hold back. And so I often tell people, don't be your first no. There's going to be plenty of people there that tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. And so I'm proud that someone like Marcus Coward chose not to be his first no, and he put himself out there. Obviously, he didn't win in this past election, but unlike some, he did put himself out there, and he is doing it again. And I think, to answer your question, I think I will support him in this go around. Whether or not he'll have the 9 votes to win, I'm not sure. And whether, depending on how many rounds of votes we have to go through, I might have to shift my support to someone else. That's a whole other discussion. But in this current time, I think I'm looking at Marcus Coward having my support in this first go around of the convention, depending on how the rules will shape up in the final adoption.
All right, we got to get our final break in for this hour. Let me do that. We'll come back and wrap things up with Council President Burgo and your calls, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
And welcome back in our final 3 moments with Council President Shane Burgo in his final day as council president. And just in the final few moments, anything you want to say to the folks of New Bedford after this year?
I just want to thank the people of New Bedford for, putting their trust in me to serve them. Tonight, obviously, is the inauguration. I welcome them all to join us again tonight, 6 p.m. at the New Bedford Whaling Museum. The doors open. Come in and join in the celebration, because it is a celebration, not only for the city council or the school committee members or the assessor, but really for all the people of New Bedford. I think it's again, as I talked about before, it's a renewal for all of us, or a recommitment to our service and the purpose to push our city forward.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in each week and taking the calls. It wasn't always pleasant for you, I know. But I think it's important to have, whether the council president can come in and take phone calls or whether they're on the phone and we're just having a discussion. But I think it's important to have that side of things and to have that balance, because the mayor gets an hour every week. And, you know, it's important to hear from the council side how things go again. Not because it has to be one versus the other, but because it's two completely different branches of government. And it's important for the citizens to hear how each one functions.
No, I completely agree. And oftentimes there's a lot of misrepresentation. So I think it's important to have the council perspective in the explanation of why certain things are happening. And I think also just for committee purposes, what committees are happening and things like that. So I thank you for the opportunity to allow us to have really a voice and a pulpit, I guess, where we're able to explain some of the, intricacies of government that aren't oftentimes easy to explain.
And of course, you're welcome to come back anytime, except for whenever the time is that the council president will be appearing.
Oh, yeah. But I'll call the VIP line just to...
Absolutely. And thank you for filling in that day, too, at the airport.
Yes.
Being able to be a
fill-in
host.
Already wants to come back, so...
Well, we'll have to work something out.
Oh, okay, great.
And 5 p.m. dedication for the Tent City? Is that before?
Nice ribbon cutting, yeah.
All right, well, stay tuned for Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. He's got you covered up coming up next. And then we're going to have Bill O'Reilly and then Barry Richard. And a reminder, in case you missed the announcement earlier, Brian Thomas has ended his weeknight show. He's going to be on just Saturday afternoons. So at 6 p.m., we will have...